Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star
Safari. Welcome to Why Space. I'm Hari.
And I'm Sam.
And we're going to talk about space and astronomy and what's happened. And what happened is finally Artemis 2 launched, which is so exciting because now we can talk about how amazing that is and what does it mean in terms of our position in history. And I'm personally very happy and very excited that the wait is over. When I was born, the year before I was born, the Apollo program just finished. It was the last time they went on the moon. And I've always felt a bit upset about the fact that during my lifetime, none of these things happened. So, yay.
Yeah, we were the shuttle generation.
The shuttle generation.
Yeah. And the space shuttle, mind you, is a pretty cool...
It was. It delivered Hubble.
Extraordinarily expensive, so not efficient.
But... And a lot of the components of the International Space Station.
Yeah, in fact, the rockets on the space shuttle, the actual rocket engines attached to the space shuttle, not the solid rocket boosters, but they are used. Those are the same engines that were used on the core stage of the SLS, so the Space Launch System, which is the rocket that launched Artemis 2. So those rockets at the bottom, the rocket engines, they're from the space shuttle, and they're refurbished, and some of them have flown, so it's not like they're brand new. And, of course, the solid rocket boosters, they've been modified a bit, but they're the same rocket boosters used on the space shuttle. So they've used... and what happens when they fall off, they go and recover them and rebuild as much of it as they can. So it's not like they just go and land in the ocean, sink to the bottom. They go and recover them.
That's really good.
Yeah. So it's not quite like fully reusable, but it's not bad.
Yeah, what amazed me is still the staggering amount of conspiracy theorists that are in denial about humanity's progress and humanity's achievements in terms of how smart we are, what are we able to do, and the fact that we have been around the moon finally. I hope they will come out of their denial.
I don't care. There's so much cool stuff happening. Some people are just going to get left behind because they live in their own world. That's okay. There's a place for everyone.
I guess so, but
certainly on the internet.
So, maybe the people who are on the internet are the less doing and more.
It could be bots doing it, you know. It just could be the.
It could be. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. There's that as well.
But it was amazing. So we watched the launch.
Driving. So Sam was driving. I was holding the phone.
Yeah.
To see it horizontally.
Yep. In Ashburton, actually. We were driving through Ashburton. And so we watched the launch. That was really special scene. And I think it's one of those moments that you kind of will remember, you know, seeing that. And then, of course, but for me, actually, the most amazing one was the landing, then coming back down to Earth safely. And, in fact, I was still, I guess, a little worried until I hopped out of the capsule and were on the little rubber dinghy thingy.
Well, it's landing because you're a former pilot and you understand physics. Right?
Yeah, and you know, they were in a new craft.
So tell me, why were you worried?
Well, once they're in the little rubber dinghy, they generally don't sink. But stuff made of metal blasting through the atmosphere at incredibly high speed. The heat shield ablated a lot. That means it eroded away. In fact, if there's some of the pictures of this outside of the spacecraft, I'm sure there's some molten metal on the side that wasn't overly well protected by the heat shield. But obviously, I mean, that was all by design, so there was clearly no problem. So they landed, they were fine, everything worked. The only thing that didn't work, actually, because we watched the whole the whole landing sequence and, you know, listening to the coverage from on the NASA broadcast, they couldn't get the radio working.
They had to make the phone call.
Yeah, they mucked around for ages trying to get this little radio working. But it was quite cool. It seemed a little overkill, right? So they all got picked up individually by the helicopter and blah, 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 blah. But I guess that's...
Wouldn't you have...
And it took a long time. You know, when you land, you could imagine that'd be like bobbing around in the ocean.
Come on, we have to go have some dinner.
It's like, get us out of here. It's like, hurry up, open the damn hatch. But anyway, they did. They got out. They were fine. And, of course, they all got back to the ship, and they're all walking quite happily away from the off to get their medical checks and stuff. It was pretty amazing. So really, really cool that that it's back. Well, actually, one of the other interesting things I found was their ages. They're only mildly younger than us. By like a couple of years. Which is so they're all kind of just under 50 or 50. And which is because you always sort of think, oh, these astronauts must be in their 30s or something, but they're not. They're actually they're all getting on a bit, and they're all incredibly experienced. And I guess, you know, when they pick the astronauts, they want people that had enough experience on doing that sort of stuff, you know, operating aeroplanes or systems or, you know, so that they can, if they have a problem, they'll be able to troubleshoot their way through it.
And also, when I did my Mars analog training years ago at the Mars station in Utah, we had the chance to talk about how old would you select the people who would go to Mars, which is a little bit of a different story, but it is about people going to space. And the consensus at the time was that you want to have people who are older. And at the time I was 30 and I was thinking, man, 50 years old. You know, that's really old. I was thinking, whoa. I was in my late 30s, but still 50 seemed like so far away. And they were saying you want to have people like that old because of the bones, because of the radiation, because there is a less chance to get cancers.
Yeah,
because your body is better trained.
They had it anyway.
If they had it, they had it. Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, well, you've had your half century.
You had your half century, yeah. Well, you've had your half century. Now you can go to the moon.
Now you can go and be irradiated in space.
You could actually, and when I applied for the astronaut, to be an astronaut with the European Space Agency, the cut-out age was 50. So I can't apply anymore, which is very sad. But it was interesting that they actually received people all the way to 50. You could be all up to 50 years old when you applied and be fine.
Don Pettit had his 70th, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just before his return from the space station.
So really, if you want to be an astronaut, the age of being an astronaut is around 50 years old, which is so cool. You have a lifetime to prepare. So for anybody out there who's listening and wants to be an astronaut when they grow up, of course you will have more chances than we did. Then now, hopefully, with the habitats on the moon and everybody else trying to get more construction in space, you will have more chances. There will be more people, even more people going to space than when we were young.
Well, and a boost for the Gen Xers out there who don't get jobs from the ageist employees. You've still got a chance to be an astronaut if you're at the young end of Gen X, that is.
Yeah, and I applied to the astronaut selection when I was 48. And I would apply again if I had the chance. So never, it's too late. It's never too late. I think the more you get older, the more you learn, and the entire life experience up to 50 years old and beyond. I never felt better and more mature and more in control of my life and everything than now at being 50, in my 50s. And it is an extraordinary feeling, because when I was a kid, I was thinking, oh man, that's the end of it. I have to say goodbye. I was thinking about retiring. And we're so far away. We actually decided never to retire.
Yeah. That's probably more for financial reasons. Because you have to add the petrol
Just got
tank
the
to do your
petrol.
mortgage. So it's an interesting story with the astronauts, of course, the four that went up. We had an interesting mix. And obviously, when they were selected, back when they were selected a few years ago, NASA was making sure they had a good mix of astronauts going up.
You
But that
mean
bit,
a girl as well?
yes, they have a female astronaut, they had a Canadian. They had, who was running it? The Reid Wiseman was the commander. And they had an African American astronaut. So they kind of,
A girl,
a girl, yeah, they're kind of mixing it up,
a
right? They're
Canadian.
trying to do their best for diversity, which is great. I mean, it is really great when you think the first astronauts that went up were all, white blokes. Back in the 60s. So
But to be fair, there are people who think that women, right, are less inclined to do technical jobs. We have seen a lot of stuff, of comments and things.
oh yeah,
It's a silly thing.
ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's awesome, and I think that what this does is, of course, it inspires a whole new generation of people who can look at the astronauts and go, hey, I could do that, and which is really cool. The next mission, so Artemis 3, that was going to be the landing originally, but now that's not. That's going to they're going to test the landing module, and then Artemis 4 is going to be the landing on the moon. And at the same time, concurrent to all this, they're going to send stuff up to build a base. So things have kind of been accelerated. But also extended. Now, one of the reasons why they're not landing on Artemis 3 is they don't have something to land.
Yay.
That hasn't been built yet,
Yeah,
which is interesting. So if you're on the Artemis 3 mission, you're thinking, oh, cool, yay, we're going to the moon. We're
they
going to
just
land on
get
this.
the
Sorry, we
old
haven't built your
module?
spacecraft yet.
Yeah, can they just look at the module from the museum?
So a lot of people are thinking, oh, why don't they just land on the moon? Well, their only option with Artemis 2 was to crash into the moon. There was no way they could have landed that on the moon. It wasn't a land. It wasn't designed for it. It wasn't built. And it was no intention to go anywhere near landing. But originally, the next mission was supposed to be a lander. And of course, there was at the time, NASA awarded the contract to SpaceX to build the lander and the landing process. That hasn't progressed as fast as people probably wanted. So I think Blue Origin, they had a court case about going into it, didn't they? There was a lot of arguing over who should have got the contract and so on. But anyway, they don't have a lander yet, and no doubt that's probably why things are slowed down.
Well, Blue Origin in the few years, last few years, have done a lot of cool things. We actually have a surprise coming up for the next episode.
Oh yes,
Yes,
yes
we
we do.
do. We went and talked
But don't
to.
say what it is,
Okay, I
because
can.
it won't be a surprise.
It's a surprise, so you need to stay tuned
Yeah.
and listen to
So
us.
keep
We went
listening to
and
Arrow
talked to
FM
someone.
non-stop.
Well, we can say that we went and talked to someone who went to space.
Yeah,
Yeah.
very, very cool.
And
Well,
so,
we've talked to a few people now. I found worked
yeah.
out the other day we've talked to seven people who've been to space.
Very cool.
Or might be six. No, seven. Right. Something like
Six,
that
yeah.
anyway. Oh. Don't get the kids all excited about that. So it's quite amazing. Yeah, we've spoken to quite a few people in space, and they're all really amazing people,
Yeah,
as you'd
the
expect,
amazing
right?
people I have ever met
Yeah.
went to space.
All
Very,
calm and collected,
yeah.
very
Very calm,
articulate,
yeah, that very calm, very articulate.
incredibly smart
Yeah.
people. Yeah.
And very modest as well.
Yeah. Guess that's why we'll never be astronauts.
I think I have a problem with being would do what I'm being told.
Yeah, push that button. No, not that button. Don't push the red button. But I think what's going to really change, like in the future, so you can go to space a whole lot easier now than you used to be able to. Like you can go do the Katy Perry trip on Blue Origin. there's a lot more opportunities now for there's larger astronaut classes. There's, you know, European Space Agency recruited a bunch of astronauts. America's recruiting a lot more. And if they build this moon base, of course, there'll be a lot more people going in. China, of course, has a very, very active space program. They're seeing a lot of people in space. They're growing their astronaut cadre up really, really big. They've got expansion plans for their space station. And they also have plans to build a moon base as well.
You guys who are younger, you're so lucky. I would give anything to be younger right now. I would totally do everything I could to go to space, even listen to instructions. If that wasn't, if that's what it takes to go to space, I would listen to instructions.
You have to listen to instructions. Mind you, they automate everything now, though, anyway, so you can't push any buttons. So what was interesting on Artemis 2, they flew the spacecraft. So the pilot had to do some manual flying of the spacecraft to test out the spacecraft system. Wouldn't that be cool? Flying a spacecraft. That'd be awesome. I'd love to do that. That'd be amazing.
Which one of your airplanes were more like was more like
actually,
a spacecraft?
Oh, the Andover, definitely. It was a high-performance airplane.
Is it because it was big? Or?
Yeah, big and slow. The incredible speeds they were going, no way. Like they were, you know, broke all the speed records for people. And of course, going around the moon, they went further than anyone's gone because they had a bit of a wider orbit around the moon. So pretty amazing. And those incredible photos of the Earth from the moon. And you look at those photos and you think, wow, there's that little blue swirly marble looking thing that we all live on. It must be, you know, they have the overview effect where they talk about, astronauts all talk about, you know, when they see Earth from space and, you know, you don't see the borders, you don't see all of the rubbish that the people are creating. You just see this beautiful planet and they get quite philosophical about it. And
well, they should.
Yeah. And then they see the, you know, the thin atmosphere and realize just what a tiny, tiny bit of that amazing looking planet we live on.
Well, that's scary to see, even if you see a picture of the Earth, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I think
go and look at pictures of Earth people from space.
Yeah. And of course they saw the parts of the moon nobody has ever seen before with their eyes. Okay, we've seen photos because there's satellites going around the moon taking pictures all the time. But the astronauts from the late 60s and early 70s, they the bit of the moon that they flew around on the far side was different than where Artemis 2. So they flew over this area, which is the first time human eyes have seen it.
Which is the big one that they were talking about is Mare Orientale, which is a big
impact crater impact basin.
Really. Yeah.
When you have a big enough crater, it becomes a basin. Just because a whole lot of the moon melts. But it's a really massive structure. It's sort of got multiple concentric rings of debris and stuff and all these big mountains and everything. It's quite a... So we had a good look on in our planetarium, actually. We were at a school a couple of days ago. It was the space camp, that's right. And we're looking in the planetarium in that area, flying around, looking at the terrain. We've got really good imagery of that area. It's quite cool. Imagine seeing that light.
It means Eastern, space. By the way, Orientale. Yeah. Orientale Basin. Orientale Sea. And it's quite big, about 1,000 kilometers.
It's quite large. Yeah. Imagine walking across that spacesuit.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. So I think, you know, the inspiration that people are going to get from the Artemis missions is pretty cool. I don't think it'll be the same as Apollo, because that happened very fast, and you know, people went from only a few decades before that, two and a bit decades, they were fighting World War II with piston engine airplanes, and in that 25 years, jets were developed, jet planes, and then rockets, and then space rockets, and then landing on the moon. So that happened incredibly fast, just in a couple of decades. Technology went from, you know, from the start of World War II, which was pretty backward, but even within a few years, it was quite amazing what had been invented. Terrible circumstances for the inventions, but ultimately ended, you know, in the late 60s, giant rockets and landing on the moon. And of course, you know, we've grown up with people going to and from space, so the shock of and the speed of it is not as much. And of course, the Artemis program's been on the books now for a long time. The SLS has taken a long time to develop for a whole raft of very good reasons, like safety and making sure it works. but it's a little. So I think the hype that Apollo had will be different than what Artemis has. But still, it's pretty amazing. I think it's amazing.
And all of this because people could look through telescopes, they could see the moon larger, they could, I think the moon played an enormous role because it was big and it was there. And plus, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the moon, right? But being so large, people became curious to what it was. And so when we invented the telescopes and all that technology, we wanted to reach further and go higher. And I think that is so beautiful. It's part of who we are as humans. And it's, I think the reason why we will excel and we have accelerated our journey to space and whatever it is that's going to happen in there, probably asteroid mining will be the thing that's going to happen in there.
What was pretty cool with these four astronauts, if you watch any of their interviews and stuff they were doing when they're in the spacecraft and while they're waiting to talk, you get a real kind of, I guess, you get a feel for what they're like just by watching what they do in the background. They were when they were like playing with the microphones, spinning around to each other, and the eye rolling that they did occasionally at each other, and you could see that these four really, really got on really well. They were all really good friends, and they all had, really great personalities that gelled, so well together. It was really cool. Anyway, I think we're just about run out of time.
We will see. We will, you will hear from us again
Yeah.
very soon with more space stuff. In the meantime,
Clear skies.
clear skies and always look up.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.